الحمد لله وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله. Dear brothers and sisters, we are shaded by a special occasion, an honorable month, the month of Ramadan. This month has indeed been described by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by so many descriptions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have described this month to be the month of all good and the month of blessings, the month of prizes, the month where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have revealed His guidance, the book of Allah, the Quran, a guidance to all mankind and clear signs for those who want to follow the right path. A month which is surrounded by mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and by forgiveness and by saving from hellfire. The beginning of this month is described with mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the middle of this month is described with forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the end of this month is assigned with the saving from hellfire. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a true hadith narrated by Bukhari and Muslim, when Ramadan comes, the gates of paradise will be opened and the gates of hellfire will be closed and the devils will be chained. In this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us that in this month Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open the gates of paradise. This is as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling His worshippers to rush to enter paradise, and to rush, in order for us to rush to enter paradise, we have to do as much as we can to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is how we rush to Allah. We rush by obeying Him and obeying His Messenger. We rush by doing the righteous actions which please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have described for us all kinds of righteous actions which we can do for this month and for all the time after the month of Ramadan. And the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will order the gates of hellfire to be closed so that to discourage us from doing the sins, doing what leads to hellfire. And also the fact that the devils will be chained, therefore they will be restricted and blocked from doing what they could usually do. Also, there is another hadith which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is narrated to say that I have been given five qualities in Ramadan. No nation before me have been given this quality. The first is that the smell of the mouth of the fasting person is nicer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the smell of musk, kind of perfume. And the angels will seek forgiveness for those who fast until they break their fast. And Allah will beautify His paradise every day, and He will say, my worshippers are about to meet with me and to come and enter the paradise. And the devils will be chained so that they cannot reach to the people like in the usual times, and they will be forgiven at the end of Ramadan or at the end of each fasting day. So these five qualities which are mentioned in this hadith and mentioned in many other true hadiths are things to be considered about this great month of Ramadan. The fact that the smell of the mouth of the fasting person is nicer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the smell of the musk shows that fasting is indeed something which is so much beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As you know that the smell of the mouth of someone who is fasting, to us it is not nice. The smell is something which we cannot take. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, since He loves fasting, He loves this smell of the fasting person's mouth. And the point is here that since Allah since this smell is beloved, then how about fasting itself? The fasting is much more beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will chain the devils on in this month of Ramadan, that will be a great help for the believers to fight themselves, or to strive against their desires, to strive against themselves, because this is all about fasting, as we will show later on inshallah. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have blessed His worshippers with a great reward in the month of Ramadan. And it is all a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a pure blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This can be seen clearly because, first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have only obligated the righteous actions which will lead to forgiving the sins of those who do those righteous actions. And not only forgiving the sins, but to raise their ranks in heavens. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise the ranks of those who do righteous in heavens. And people in heavens will be in higher ranks according to their actions in this life. The more righteous they have done in this life, the higher their ranks will be in heavens. And this is all blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is those righteous actions which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have assigned and have obligated are the only way to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by assigning things according to what we think and things according to our desires. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in His book, أَمْ لَهُمْ شُرَكَاءُ شَرَعُوا لَهُمْ مِنَ الدِّينِ مَا لَمْ يَأْذَنْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. Is it so that they have companions or they have associated partners with Allah who assign for them things to do which Allah have not ordered? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is blaming the kafirs and the mushriks, the disbelievers, for this crime, and that is they have assigned people, or they have assigned their desires to be their rulers and to make judgments for them or make things lawful for them other than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have permitted. So this is a form of shirk, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing those to associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyone who makes his desire as the ruler to make things lawful for him and unlawful, then he has made his desire as a companion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a partner in worship. Therefore, he has committed disbelief and committed rejection of faith. And anyone who assigns any person to take this role of making rulings and judgments for him and making things lawful and unlawful for him, then he has taken that person, whoever it might he might be, he has taken him as a partner with Allah and worship. So it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that have assigned for us what we should do and what we should not do, what is lawful and what is unlawful. So show us those righteous actions is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides someone to do those righteous actions, then this is a great honor for him, and this is great blessings which are special of him, because so many people have lost this path, have lost the path of doing righteous, have not been blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be righteous and to do the righteous actions. So for someone to be chosen for this, this is a great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the real believer should honor this bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and should really be more thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by even doing more righteous actions, because this is the way to become thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is by obeying Allah. And to be thankful only by tongue is short of being thankful. So the real thanking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to act and to obey Allah and His Messenger, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in His book, ordering His Messenger Dawood to act and to do righteous as a means of thanking Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in His book regarding some ignorant people who came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they were telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we have become faithful and so on. So the Prophet was ordered to tell them that they cannot say that they are the ones who have all the honor to become Muslims and faithful. It is the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is the favor from Allah alone that He guided you to the right faith. So for the Muslim, the true believer, he should be aware of this fact, that he has been blessed and honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be righteous and to have the right faith and to do the right thing. The other thing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, due to His great blessing, have honored fasting with great reward, not only to reward the good action with 10 as much, and not even to 700 as much, but to an unbound limit, to an unlimited reward. This is the reward for fasting, that it is unbound, as we will explain inshallah in the next session. So to be in Ramadan, this is a great blessing by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To witness this great month is a great chance for the real believer, to gain the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by fasting in the right way, and by making the prayers at night, and by reciting the Quran, and by making this fasting in the best way. And how do we make the fasting in the best way? By following what is righteous and lawful, and by staying away from what is unrighteous and unlawful, because this is the meaning of fasting, as we will explain inshallah in the next session. So fasting Ramadan is one of the greatest worships to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and one of the most honorable obediences to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have said in his book, O you who believe, fasting have been prescribed on you, just like it has been prescribed on the nations before you, so that you might achieve piety, so that you might be pious. So in this verse we see very clearly that fasting is indeed a great worship. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have made it obligatory on all nations before us, which shows that this is a very essential worship for all people. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have made it obligatory on all nations before us. And because this obligation has so much reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore due to Allah's blessing and mercy, He has made it obligatory on all nations before, so that they will not miss the great chance of reward by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also we should know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it very clear at the end of the verse why He has obliged fasting, and that is to be pious and to achieve piety. This inshallah we will show in another session. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الحمد لله وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله. We started our talk with the virtues of Ramadan and the virtues of this great and month of fasting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have ordered the believers to fast this month, just like He has ordered the nations before to fast the month. And had it not been for its great advantage, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have ordered all the nations to fast. And also because there is so much reward for fasting, that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, due to His blessings and mercy, have made it obligatory on all nations. Now, one of the great virtues of fasting in Ramadan is that fasting is a cause for forgiving the sins and for erasing our sins. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "He who fasts Ramadan due to faith in Allah and due to his faith that Allah has made fasting obligatory on us, and for the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have promised for the fasting person, then all his past sins will be forgiven. Now, in this true hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving the Muslims a great promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that all their sins will be forgiven if they fast in the right way. To fast in the right way is first that your fasting must be based on your faith in Allah and must be based in your faith that this obligation is made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we obey him and worship him by fasting. Now, all actions of course must be based on faith, true faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because if someone fasts or prays or gives charity or does anything good based on the wrong faith in Allah, then none of his actions will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the faith in Allah is the bottom and the base for all other actions. And if the faith is correct, then all other actions will follow and will be looked into. But if the faith is not correct, no action will be considered and the actions will not be looked into at all. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is putting two conditions to fast Ramadan. The first is to have the right faith in Allah and to be faithful that Allah has made fasting obligatory on us. So when we fast, we don't just fast because it's a habit that we do every year, or because we have seen our ancestors do it, or because we see the people do it and we do like they do. If someone fasts for this alone, then his fasting is not considered anything by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Muslim must fast because he knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have made fasting obligatory on him. And the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have made fasting obligatory on him, this is for many wisdoms and for many good reasons, which we will show in another session inshallah. And also, one fasts because he desires the great unlimited reward for fasting. So for those two reasons, one fasts. And if he fasts for those two reasons, then as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, all his sins will be forgiven. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the five prayers and the Friday prayer to the next Friday prayer and fasting Ramadan to the next fasting are erasers of the sins between them, as long as one avoids the major sins. So this is the condition, that one should avoid the major sins. Also, amongst the virtues of fasting is that its reward is unlimited. The fasting person is given an unlimited reward, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrates about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, every action of the actions of the son of Adam belongs to him except fasting. That is, except fasting, it is for me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, fasting is for me, and I reward for it. The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have assigned the reward of fasting to him, and the fact that he is the most generous, shows that the reward of fasting is something which is unlimited. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, fasting is a shield, is a protection. So when it is the day of fasting for one of you, then let him not say
any obscene saying nor act any wrong action. And if someone cusses at him or fights him, let him say, I am fasting. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam swears by Allah that the smell of the mouth of the fasting person is nicer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the smell of the musk. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that the fasting person has two occasions of happiness. One is when he breaks his fast, that is at the end of Ramadan. And one is when he meets with his Lord and he finds out that the reward for his fasting is so much, so he becomes happy. And in another narration, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrates about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that fasting is for me and I reward for it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the fasting person leaves his desire and his food for my sake. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have made fasting so honorable that he has attached it to himself. He said, fasting is for me. Even though none of our worships will benefit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way. Neither our fasting, nor our prayer, nor anything else. So the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, fasting is for me, it is not because our fasting will benefit Allah in one way or another. But it is to show that fasting is an honorable action, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored. And that is why he has attached it to himself. And then he says, and I reward for it. Meaning that this is a special worship. Leave its reward on me. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who says this. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains why fasting is so special. He says, because the fasting person leaves his desire and leaves his food for my sake. So this is something which is so loved, so much loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he finds his slave, his worshipper, giving the love of Allah a priority over the love of his own self. And he is making himself hungry and thirsty for the sake of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is staying away from what he desires and what he loves normally for the sake of what Allah loves. And this is indeed great worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from this hadith we see it very clear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have chosen fasting from all other actions to be of an honorable position and of a loved quality. And this is also because for the fasting person, sincerity is shown more than all other actions. Because when someone is fasting, it is between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a secret between the slave and his Lord, between the worshipper and his Lord. And of course, when he is alone, he can eat and he can drink. If he is not fearful of Allah and if he is not faithful, that is why this is beloved worship by Allah, because sincerity is shown in this obligation more so than in the other actions, and because the fasting person gives priority to what Allah loves than what his own self loves. Then the second thing in this hadith is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I reward for it. So he he honored this action by making the reward up to his generosity, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward for it abundantly. And this is because fasting is a kind of patience, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in his book that the patient people will be rewarded without limit. So fasting is nothing but patience, actually, to be patient on hunger for the sake of Allah, to be patient on thirst for the sake of Allah, to be patient not to do the things which displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to be patient on the good things which one should do to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All these things need patience. To be righteous and to do good things, this needs patience. And to stay away from unlawful things, this needs patience. And to bear the difficulties which result from fasting, such as the hunger and thirst and other things which come out of thirst and hunger, all this needs patience, and therefore fasting is nothing but patience. Then the Prophet ﷺ says that fasting is a shield, is a protection. Now, it is a shield because this is the way fasting it should be. This is the way fasting it should be, that when one is fasting, his fasting should protect him from wrongdoing, and by this way his fasting will protect him from hellfire in the day of judgment, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that fasting is a protection from hellfire, a protection which the worshipper will protect himself with on the day of judgment. So this protection or this shield is shown by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said that the fasting person does not say anything obscene or do anything which is unrighteous. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that the fasting person will have two points of happiness or two times of happiness. Once when he breaks his fasting, and then he will celebrate the Eid, and he will be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he has been chosen to fast that month. And when he meets with his Lord, he will find the result of his fasting. Finally, we should know that fasting will intercede for the person on the day of judgment, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said. Now, it will intercede if the person have done this fasting in the right way. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst those who fast this month in the best way, and whose fasting is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whose fasting will be an intercessor for them on the day of judgment. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الحمد لله وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله. Fasting Ramadan is with no doubt one of the great pillars of Islam and one of the great foundations of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have said in his book, O you who believe, fasting have been prescribed on you just like it have been prescribed on the nations before you, so that you might achieve piety. Few days. So fasting is not 100 days or 200 days. It is only 1 month. from dawn to sunset. And those who are sick, they can make up for what they miss in this month later on when they get well. And those who are traveling, they can break their fasting during their travel and they can make up for their fasting later on. We will, inshallah, speak in detail about the people who are sick and who are traveling and so on. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this month is the month where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have revealed his book as a guidance to all mankind and as clear signs. So he who witnesses this month, he who is alive and well in this month, then let him fast. This is an order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fast this month. It is an order to fast this month because fasting has been ordered by Allah in the second year after the Muslims have migrated to Medina. So in that year, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have ordered fasting, and fasting became obligatory on all Muslims who have reached the age of puberty and who are well. Because before that time, fasting was not obligatory. Before the second year of Hijrah, fasting was not obligatory. And it was something which is desirable to fast, but it was not an obligation. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated to Medina, then next year Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have revealed the obligation of fasting. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Islam is based on five pillars or five foundations. First is the testimony to La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. There is no one worthy of being worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. The second is to establish the prayers. And the third is to give the obligatory zakat, charity. And the fourth is to fast Ramadan, and the fifth is to make the Hajj. So we see from the Book of Allah and the Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Hajj is a must on the Muslim, and all Muslims have agreed that fasting Ramadan is a must. Therefore, for anyone to deny this, he becomes a non-Muslim. If someone denies that fasting Ramadan is a must, then he is not a Muslim. Or someone denies fasting from dawn to sunset. Or someone denies fasting in the month of Ramadan, and he says, why not fasting in another month? So to fast the month of Ramadan, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have ordered, is an obligation on all Muslims. And anyone who denies this or denies any clear obligation of Islam is not a Muslim. Now, for someone who does not deny this fact, but he does not make this obligation due to following his desire, then he is doing a great sin. He is doing a great sin because he is neglecting one of the pillars of Islam. And this is something which is not easy. And to start the month of Ramadan, then one of two things must be achieved. The first is to see the crescent, the moon at the beginning of the month is only a crescent. To see the crescent, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he amongst you who witnesses the month, then let him fast it. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you see the crescent, you start your fasting. And in another true hadith he said, when you see the crescent, you start your fast. And when you see the crescent, that is at the end of the month, you break your fast for the Eid. So by seeing the crescent, then it is a must on us to start the month of Ramadan, to start the month of fasting. Now, if someone who is a Muslim and who has the age of puberty and he is in his full mental condition, then he should be trusted for his witness. If he has seen the crescent and he is a trustworthy person, he is not a liar, then his witness, his testimony should be accepted, even if he was one. Abdullah ibn Umar, one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saw the crescent and he went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he told him, I have seen of the month of Ramadan. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered the Muslims to start fasting. Also, a man came from the desert and he said, O Messenger of Allah, I have seen the crescent for the month of Ramadan. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, do you say La ilaha illallah? In other words, are you a Muslim? He said, yes. He said, do you say Muhammad Rasulullah? He said, yes. He said, he ordered the Muslims to start fasting tomorrow. So in this hadith, we see it very clear that as long as the person who is witnessing is a Muslim and he is trustworthy, then his testimony should be accepted and the Muslims must go by his testimony. So if he is a non-Muslim and he says, I saw the moon, it should not be accepted from him. So this is why, this is how we should start our fasting in Ramadan. And therefore, if the government announces that the crescent have been seen, then their announcement should be taken by all Muslims. Other Muslims in other places, in other countries, could take this witness also. Even though some scholars said that every country should follow their own witness and that they should look for the crescent, and if they see it, they should follow that and start their fasting. So either way they do it, it is acceptable by the Muslims. If they go by the testimony of some Muslims or some Muslim country other than their own country, this is good. And as a matter of fact, this will be better for all Muslims to follow the same testimony and to start at the same day and to break their fast at the same day and to celebrate Eid on the same day. This is better. But anyway, if some Muslim country follow their own testimony, that is okay, that is fine. There is no problem with that. There should not be any differences in this issue. Fact that some people have certain calculations that they follow regarding the moon, and they say that our calculations prove that the moon could not have been seen or something like that. This is wrong. This is completely wrong. the calculations should not be used in this issue. It is only a matter of one day difference, because this month, the Arabic month, the lunar month, is either 29 or 30 days. It's not more than 30 days, and it's not less than 29 days. So it's only a one day difference. If we see the crescent, we start our fasting. If we don't see it, then we continue Sha'ban 30 days, and that's it. So there is no need to go into all kinds of complications. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna ummatun ummiya, la nahsubu wa la naktub." That our nation is a nation which does not deal with those calculations, the meaning of the hadith. So this is the majority of the Muslims who do not deal with those calculations, and they do not understand the basis for those calculations. So they should not be confused by those things, and those things actually will make troubles amongst the Muslims and will make differences for no reason. That is why the Muslim scholars have agreed that those calculations cannot be made a basis to reject the testimony of seeing the moon. All scholars in the past and nowadays say that those calculations should not be used as a means to deny the seeing of the crescent, or deny the testimony of the crescent. If someone comes and testifies, and he is trustworthy, he is Muslim, he is in full capabilities of thinking, and he knows how the crescent is, he's not imagining something, then his testimony should be accepted. There is no reason to claim that our calculations disagree with this. This is nonsense, and this is not acceptable by any Muslim scholar, neither in the past nor nowadays. All the four madhabs in the past have said that those calculations should not be used at all in this issue, in starting Ramadan or in ending Ramadan. Only one scholar who came so much later, he is one of the students of the Shafi'i madhab, not Shafi'i himself, neither any of his direct students, but some student who came maybe 200 years later, who said that those calculations may be used in situations of necessity, where, for example, the crescent cannot be seen, and there is a cloud or something which it cannot be seen. Then he said we can use those calculations to see whether we have completed the month or not. But anyway, this scholar never said that by doing those calculations we can deny any testimony of seeing the moon. So this is something which is a total innovation, and the Muslims should avoid all kinds of innovations. So if we do not see the moon, then we continue the month 30 days, and that's all, because the month is either 29 or 30 days. So if we were in Sha'ban and we were looking for the moon for the month of Ramadan, if we find it, fine. If we do not find it, then if we do not see it on the day of 29th of Sha'ban, then we just complete 30 days in Sha'ban, and that's it. Then we start Ramadan whether we see the moon or not. And similarly, when we are in Ramadan fasting, then at the end of Ramadan, we should do the same thing. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم، والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
And that fasting Ramadan is an obligation on every Muslim who has reached the age of puberty. For those who have not reached the age of puberty, it is desirable to fast. It is desirable for them to fast, even for the children. It is desirable to make them fast so that they get used to it, and so that they get reward for fasting, and their parents get reward for their fasting also. Now, when we teach the children to fast, we should make sure that they don't fast in a way which it is harmful for them. That's why we should make them fast. When we make them fast, we should make sure that they eat the suhoor at the proper time, and that they, when they break their fast, they take the futur in the proper time, and so on. And for the small children, they can be educated to fast by also encouraging them by toys and so on to make them busy with playing until they finish their fasting. Now, in Ramadan, we have two major actions to do. The first major action is fasting. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, he who fasts Ramadan due to his faith and due to his desire for the great reward for it, then all his past sins will be forgiven. The other major action in Ramadan is to make the prayers, the extra prayers at night after the Isha prayer. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, he who makes those prayers of the night in Ramadan due to his faith and due to his great desire for the reward, then all his past sins will be forgiven. So the Muslim have two great chances in Ramadan for his sins to be forgiven. The first is to make sure that his fasting in the best way, to fast in the best way, and this we will show inshallah later on. And the other thing is that he makes his prayers at night in the best way. Now, praying at night in general is something which is loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether in Ramadan or in any other time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the real believers, those who due to their fear of their Lord pray at night, or stay up at night prostrating and standing in prayer. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said that they get less sleep or little sleep due to their fear from their Lord and due to their desire in His mercy. So when the slave fears Allah and desires His great mercy, then he should do something. And that is why the believer stays up in the night as much as he can and makes prayers at night due to his fear for his Lord and due to his desire in God's mercy and paradise. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best prayer after the obligatory prayers is the prayer of night, meaning the prayers at night after the Isha prayer. So saying that it is the best prayer shows its great position and its great honor.
And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, O people, spread peace amongst you and feed the food, that is, to the needy and to your friends and relatives and so on. And be good to your relatives. And pray at night when people are sleeping. You will enter paradise peacefully. So in this hadith we see that to pray at night when people are sleeping, this is one of the causes to enter paradise easily and peacefully. Now, praying at night also has another speciality, and that is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said in a true hadith in Sahih Muslim. He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, most high and most glorious, descends to the lower heaven every night in the last third of the night. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the third, to the lower heaven, and he says, who is there to ask me and I will answer him his call? Who is there to seek my forgiveness and I will forgive him? So this shows that there is a special honor for the night prayer, and especially the last part of the night, the last third of the night. So this is something which should not be missed by the believer, a great chance to gain the reward and the blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, this does not mean that the prayer of the night should be at the last part of the night. It can be at any part of the night after the Isha prayer, because many people cannot wake up in the last third of the of night due to some reasons. The point is that one should make what is suitable for him and what is more comfortable for him. One can make his night prayer at the beginning of the night, and one can make it later on at the middle of the night, and one can make it after midnight, and one can make it later on until dawn, as long as dawn have not come. Now, this is regarding the time of the night, so it's an open range. Now, regarding the number of rak'ahs or number of units of prayer, also there is no limit for the number of rak'ahs and units of prayer. A man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He asked him, O Messenger of Allah, teach me about the night prayer. How can I make the night prayer? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, you make two rak'ahs and then two rak'ahs and then two rak'ahs with no limit. He did not mention any limit. He did not tell him make for example 8 or 10 or 20 or whatever. Before Fajr you should make one rak'ah or three rak'ahs to finish the night prayer. So we finish the night prayer by making either one rak'ah or three rak'ahs. So this is regarding the number of rak'ahs. There is no limit for that, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon teaching that person, he did not make any limit for him. So there is no reason for anyone to tell the people, you must make 8 or you must make 20 or you must make 36 or 46 or whatever. There is no reason for anyone to make a certain limit for the number of rak'ahs. As a matter of fact, we know that at the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, at the time of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were making 20 rak'ahs in Mecca, and later on they were making 36 rak'ahs in Medina, even at the time of Imam Malik rahimahullah, when they asked Imam Malik, should we change this number of rak'ahs in Medina, 36 rak'ahs, he said no, because people are used to this. They have started this and they are used to this. So there is no reason to change it and to make trouble and chaos, because there is no limit for this, and this is all considered to be prayers at night, and there is a great reward for making more rak'ahs, for making more ruku', and for making more sujood. In Sham at that time, which is Syria and Jordan and Palestine at our times, they were even making 46 rak'ahs. So there is no limit for the number of rak'ahs, and no one should make the people think that they have to make such and such number or such and such number. But of course, with no doubt, the best way to make the night prayer, the best way and the more rewarded way, is the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Aisha radiallahu anha narrated in a true hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never made more than 11 rak'ahs in Ramadan or other than Ramadan. In another narration she said 13 rak'ahs. So this is the best way. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was making each rak'ah to be so long, very long. That's why the Muslims later on have decided to make the rak'ahs shorter and to make more rak'ahs. Because when you make the rak'ah so long, you will get so much reward for it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the more, the most beloved prayer to Allah is the long-standing prayer, where someone stands in prayer so long and recites so much of Quran. So he says, this is the most beloved prayer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why he was doing it in this way, because he was choosing the most beloved thing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was choosing the best. And he also said in another true hadith that the most favorable prayer is the prayer with more ruku' and more sujood, the prayer with more kneeling and more prostration. So in this hadith we find also that to kneel more and to prostrate more, this has a virtue also. So you can make up the long standing by the more ruku' and more sujood. So you have a choice. This is favorable and this is favorable. And of course, to make it longer is more favorable if you can do it with patience, because there is no reason for someone to stand so long and then he hates this in his heart. So this is not something which is good. The Muslim should make what is more comfortable for him and what he can take best. And it's all good to make the prayer at night. It's all good and has a lot of reward. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was making those prayers so long. As Aisha radiallahu anha narrated, she said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was making 4 rak'ahs. Don't ask about how long they are, because they are so long. And don't ask how beautiful they are, because they are so beautiful. He makes those prayers in the best way. He makes his ruku' in the best way. He stays in ruku' for a long time, and so on and so forth. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make those prayers by ending those prayers either by 1 rak'ah, this is okay, or by ending it by 3 rak'ahs, or even by 5. And sometimes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was making 8 rak'ahs, and then he was making the 9th, and so on. So this is something which the believer have a choice to end his prayers by one or three or five or seven, or to make eight rak'ahs and then make the ninth, and so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started the Salat Taraweeh himself at his time, but then he stopped it because he did not want it to be made obligatory on Muslims. So Salat Taraweeh is not obligatory, it is something which is favorable, and we will talk about it inshallah next time. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله.